Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and please tell us where you're from. And if you're enjoying the ad-free show, please consider becoming a patron and sponsoring it. You can go to patreon.com/verypinkknits for more information. And I'll also put a link to that in the show notes. And was there anything else? Oh, and our, yes, our yarn patron is Turtle Pearl. And we have a coupon code for Turtle Pearl for 10% off your purchase. And I'll put that in the show notes as well. And I am happily knitting. I just got my Turtle Pearl order. I posted it to Facebook and Instagram last week. Diamond Dungarees and Octopus's Garden. I kept talking about those yarns and then I finally ordered them. So, yeah. Two pairs of socks ready to go. Got the yarn for them. Yeah.
I love that.
How are you?
I was just going to say, I love the Diamond Dungarees because I hadn't seen that. Is that a new one of hers, maybe? It looks like
no, it's been around for a while, but it's like light blues with a dark blue hank for heel and toe. Mm-hmm. It's nice. I mean, I've kind of forgotten what it looks like all knit up,
yeah.
But I can just see the colors in the hank, and it looks really
like
good.
Denim.
It looks exciting.
Cool.
Yeah, but there's also really light blues in there as well. It's like faded, faded denim.
Yeah.
I forgot to say this is episode 192. And for people who aren't on Patreon with us, you haven't heard from us in a while. We took the 4th of July week off, and then we had a bonus episode last week for patrons. So, hello, we're back.
And they missed the rapid fire, which was not very rapid.
On the bonus episode, we answered a bunch of rapid fire questions and turns out we're kind of lame at answering rapid fire questions. We answered thoroughly, though, I'd say. We were complete in our answers, just not very quick in our answers.
Not rapid.
Not very rapid, no. Is there anything else that I've forgotten to say before we start magically turning knitting questions into knitting answers?
I don't think so, unless you want to talk about our Patreon prize or support. What do you call it? Gift for
the
our
perk?
Supporters. Perk.
The perk, the new perk is the locking stitch marker case. I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before and or on the regular feed before. And I am just mailing out locking stitch marker cases to all corners of the world. I'm just about done. I'm just catching up with the people, the new ones that are coming in and getting them out. I am just like, it's very pink. Shipping station here at my house, just pink envelopes everywhere. But it's happening. It's just I have a system for it and I'm doing pretty well at sticking to my own rules and my own system and everything, but I've never been one to mail stuff before. I mean, that's never been a part of my business, so there's a bit to learn, but I can put in my podcast, my audiobook, and just kind of put stamps on, you know?
Yeah.
I got it.
Yep.
Assembly line.
Good. Good work.
Okay. Thank you very much,
Good
Casey.
Work. Okay. Should we get going with some questions?
Let's do it.
All right. Patreon question. Hey, Stacy and Casey, I'm currently knitting a cardigan pattern that's flat with lots of cables in it, and I want to add different colored stripes to it. Think of Joji Locatelli's Amy pattern. I just looked that one up. That's a different pattern. That one's just flat stockinette with stripes. So,
oh, okay.
Horizontal
She's
stripes.
Talking about the stripes, not the cables. Okay.
Right. So she wants to add horizontal stripes to this cable pattern. I don't know the best way to go about it. Is it even possible? I thought I'd ask my two favorite knit gurus before attempting anything. Thanks for the entertaining podcast. You keep me happy when I'm doing my morning shift. Oliver in Manchester, England.
Hi, Oliver. I guess it kind of depends. Like, you're doing this cable thing. You want to put cabled sweater. You want to put stripes in it. I personally don't like the look of stripes and cables together because you have kind of your eyes going up and down with the vertical nature of the stripes and it's also of the cables. And then also it's going left to right with the horizontal nature of the stripes. I think it's too much. I mean, unless your colors are almost like you're using an off-white and a very, very light baby blue where there's barely any color difference. This is just my opinion. Really, if you want to do stripes, go for it. It's totally possible. Just work stripes like you would for anything else. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Casey?
Yeah, you just have to keep track because I'm assuming the cable pattern is going vertically, but your stripes are going to go horizontally.
Yep.
And so unless it's like one big panel, you're going to have to keep track of the repeats and or not repeats, but different color changes.
Is it possible that Oliver is talking about doing the stripes vertically with the cable?
Well, the cardigan, the Amy cardigans he's talking about, it's horizontal. It's like big blocks of horizontal color changes.
Okay.
And it's a cardigan. So like, you know, you'd knit the whole thing flat and then it's got set in sleeves.
You know, Oliver, I would either do a cabled sweater or a striped sweater.
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't put them together, or a cabled sweater and a striped sweater. You'll have two sweaters to choose from.
Right.
But I don't really like the way it looks. I should say I haven't seen a sweater that has both of those that I've really loved the look of.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next question. Another Patreon question. The poncho epic continues. I finished the poncho. Hand-dyed yarn with lots of reds, yellows, and oranges in it, and my bamboo interchangeable needles are now pink as is the cable. I'm scared to knit anything white or light on these needles or with this cable. Is there any way to safely clean them? Mary Karen,
the poncho epic continues. With bamboo needles, I wouldn't actually use anything to clean them, but I would maybe take a paper towel or the kind of cloth that you use to clean glass, you know, like your glasses or something, and just use that dry to rub off any pink that wants to come off of the needle or the cord without getting it wet. That's what I would do. And I've had my needles, wood and bamboo, change color plenty of times, and I've never had an issue with the color on the needle transferring to even white yarn, mm-hmm. you know, light colored yarn on my next project. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I don't know, just stains the needles and then doesn't transfer again.
Yeah.
Do you have experience with this, Case?
Yes. I have some needles that I think they're bamboo and they knit something blue with them and they turned blue, but I don't recall having an issue of it coming off.
Transferring again.
Yeah.
When I was using that naturally dyed indigo yarn, it turned, you know, the yarn looks blue, but it turned my needles and my hands kind of a green color, but it hasn't transferred to anything else. just my hands. I look like a Smurf.
I've had that happen too. And I had the opposite happen with my indigo needles. Luca needles? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Like a needles, Leica. Yeah. Or Luca. I think that actually might be how you say it.
Mine are blue, and the blue, like the metal join at the base of the needles has kind of faded off since using them. And the blue's kind of faded.
You're saying, okay, well, there's supposed to be kind of that faded denim look to those needles. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that the yarn didn't dye the needles. The color is actually coming off the needles onto other things.
I guess it's coming off. I don't know that it's coming off onto other things or whatever I'm knitting. It doesn't show up, but it's
just fading.
Maybe it's working into my hands or something.
Well, if it was moisturizing, that'd be good. But I have a feeling it's just losing color.
Probably.
Oh, wow.
But okay. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Hi, ladies. Can any toe up sock pattern be used as an ankle sock or shorty sock pattern? In reference to most toe-up patterns, allowing the knitter to knit until they've used up their yarn or until the sock is the length they like, could that length just be very short? I've looked on Ravelry to see that most ankle socks patterns are cuffed down. Are there different shaping techniques around the ankle when a sock is that short? Thanks for any knowledge you might have on knitting shorty/ankle no-show socks. Your insight and help is very much appreciated. You're both wonderful contributors to the knitting community. Angela from Michigan.
Oh, Angela, thank you. And Casey, I want to hear what you have to say about this, but I do not have a shorty sock pattern, and I have knit other people's shorty sock patterns before, and there is some secret. There's some secret that keeps the sock from just scrunching down on the inside of your shoe. Mm-hmm. And like I wear, shorty athletic socks, store-bought shorty athletic socks with my, when I'm on the Peloton or walking the dogs or whatever with my sneakers. And I know that the ribbing is really especially snug and wide. Mm-hmm. And that might be the secret. I don't think it has anything to do with the way the heel is shaped or anything else, but I know that my store-bought shorties do not slide inside my shoes, and every time I've tried to hand knit a pair, it has slid inside. So mm-hmm. I don't know what the secret is, and that's why I don't have a shorty sock pattern. Casey, do you know what the secret is?
I haven't knit any, but I have looked at the patterns, and I think there's some short row shaping around the heel, like the ankle, like there's a little scoop to it.
Oh, there's like, besides just the turning mm-hmm. the heel, there's like something extra?
Yeah. I think it's a pearl Soho pattern or something like that. I've not done it, but I've looked at it before and I thought, I don't want to do that. So,
Well, I'm wondering, so like the way like the back of the heel is kind of rounded, maybe it is short rows across the back of the heel that at the top of the back of the heel that would kind of accommodate that, I'm thinking?
Or like along the inside of your ankle, it kind of scoops down. Do you know what I'm
okay.
saying?
Okay. I don't know. Yes. Oh, the foot is just such a weird thing to fit.
Yeah. But I've seen, I'm like, clothing. A lot of them, it looks like there's just ribbing. Like,
yeah, and I
but
don't,
those are not that, no-show.
That's a way. Well, that's kind of it too. I have, I've knit the ones with a little bit of ribbing that weren't exactly no-show. They stuck up a little bit.
Yeah.
And they ended up inside my shoe.
Okay.
They did not stay up.
It is not Pearl Soho. It just looks like a Pearl Soho photo.
Oh, okay.
It's called La Maison Rie, R-I-L-I-L-I-E.
It's okay.
The house something. Maybe that's the French for sock. But they look like they have some kind of shaping to them.
Do they look like they're supposed to be no-show mm-hmm. or shorty?
They're actually called no-show socks. That's the name of the pattern.
Okay.
And so.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I can put a link to that in the show notes and we can all maybe see what the magic is and see. Do you see what the review or the number of stars on that pattern? Do people like it?
Oh, yeah. It's really popular. It says,
okay,
these expose a deeper curved portion of the top of the foot and ankle. This is why they're much more flattering on all sizes of ankles. Because of the lower décolleté at the top section, they are completely hidden when worn in shoes. Anyway, they look really cute, and it's toe up.
Well, they're not supposed to look cute. They're supposed to look nothing.
I know.
You're supposed to not see them.
But they're cute when you've got no shoes on.
Okay. Well, yeah, we can put a link to that in the show notes. I'm curious about it myself.
Yeah.
So
okay.
We'll be sure to get that in there. So maybe that is an answer for Angela.
Yeah, could you just make ankle socks and then stop at your ankles and then do your ribbing right there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If
they
just end up on the inside of your shoe, they're not comfortable and they end up bunched around the sole of your foot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been my experience.
I'm always like, I'm going to knit these normal length like crew socks and then I keep knitting and make them knee highs.
Yeah, you just want to use up the rest of your yarn and keep
going. I just
going,
love my knee high socks. I love them so much.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hello, Stacey and Casey, LOL. I'm reporting back on my Long Beach jury duty experience. I decided to chance it. I brought knitting needles to the courthouse. I decided to bring a small project, cotton dishcloths, partially knit on bamboo circular needles. My adding needles and fancy yarn stayed safely at home. I made it through security safely for the 3 days I was there and completed 6 dishcloths. Thank you for your comments and suggestions, Patty.
That is funny. Great. She did just the right thing. So she was able to enjoy her knitting while she was in jury duty, but she also just kind of brought a simple project and crap needles so that in case they confiscated them, she'd be like, yeah, whatever. Okay, I won't bring them tomorrow. But she made it through every day. And that's good. Thanks, Patty. Thanks for updating us.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay. Hi, girls. Love your show and all the great information. I am knitting a shawl and garter stitch where the cast on is the longest side of the shawl. I decrease every row, knit two together in the beginning of the row after the first stitch, and SSK at the end of the row, knitting the last stitch. I've been doing my SSK like this. Slip two stitches as if to purl, put the left stitches onto the front of these two slipped stitches, and knit them through the back of these stitches. I now realize that you guys say to slip the two stitches as if to knit. I'm getting a left slanting decrease, so I'm wondering how it could be different if I did it correctly. Also, both sides of the shawl look the same to me, so is there a right and wrong way with the garter stitch? Thank you from Southwest Colorado. Best regards, Lita.
Hi, Lita. This is these are good questions. So she's working the SSK stitch, which is slip, slip, knit, left-leaning decrease. She's working it a bit differently than I would say that my standard instructions for that are most people's standard instructions are slip as if to knit, slip as if to knit, knit those two stitches through the back loop. You transfer those two stitches back to the left needle and knit them through the back loop. And that is the way to get the hardest left lean on an SSK. If you are slipping those stitches as if to purl, you will still get a left lean. It won't be as hard of a left lean. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about Lita's shawl. She has the SSK on one side of the shawl and the knit two together on the other side of the shawl, and the entire shawl exists between those two decreases. So no one's going to be looking at how perfectly mirrored the SSK is to the knit two together because they're so far apart. Now, if you are working like a raglan sweater or something and you have the SSK and the knit two together just one stitch apart from each other or right next to each other, it's going to be more apparent if they aren't perfect mirror images of each other. Now, to kind of just talk about like the nature of knitting, a right-leaning decrease, a knit two together, that is an easy thing to achieve. As soon as you knit two stitches together as one, you get a right-leaning decrease and it's a hard right lean. SSK is harder to achieve, which is why we go through all these steps to get as much left lean as possible. And if you really inspect knit two together and SSK, they aren't exactly mirrors. Knit two together is always kind of leaning right a bit harder than SSK is leaning left. So we slip as if to knit, slip as if to knit, put those two stitches on the back needle and knit them through the back loop, three-step process of getting as much left lean as possible. So for Lita's shawl, not going to make a big difference. It might make a difference in appearance for something else that you're knitting down the line. And I would say try to get the strongest left lean that you can on that stitch. So do slip them as if to knit and not as if to purl. This is a big thing in the knitting world because people keep improving on the SSK. And I'm going to say the hardest left lean we can get is with slip as if to knit, slip as if to knit, knit those two stitches through the back loop. Anyway, there was another question here that I thought was good. Both sides of the shawl look the same to me. Is there a right and wrong side with the garter stitch? Mm. And the answer to that is really no, unless you're adding stripes of color. Mm-hmm. Because on the front of the work in garter stitch, you end up with clean color breaks. And they're kind of what I call muddy color breaks on the back of the color, on the back of the shawl.
Cool.
Wow, that was a lot of answer about SSK, Lita. Were you ready for that?
Okay.
Let's get one more question.
Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. First off, thank you for all of the wonderful media. I've been knitting for over a decade and still rely on Stacey's video tutorials when I'm learning a new technique. I start most mornings listening to a few episodes since I only started listening to the podcast a few months ago and have catching up to do.
Aww.
I'm recently engaged and preparing to knit my own veil. I've got a lovely lace pattern, Mystic Supernova by Anna Dalvi, using 100% merino lace, and I'm considering adding beading. I've checked the Ravelry page, and only one other person has added beading, but it looks so bulky to me. It looks bulky to me, as opposed to other knits I've seen that have beadwork that looks nice and light. My question is, will it weigh the lace down too much and interrupt the drape? Are there lightweight beads that work best with lace weight wool? Help. Many thanks and happy knitting, Hannah from Iowa City, Iowa.
Oh, Hannah. Well, congratulations on your engagement. And I think it's so nice, Casey. Don't you think it's nice when the veil or lace shawl is like handmade and part of their wedding outfit.
For sure.
I think it's so nice. And then there's the, I think it's the Irish tradition where the shawl should be so fine and light that you can thread it through the wedding band.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's neat.
Oh, you didn't know that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to say, though, beads will definitely get in the way of trying to pull a shawl through the wedding band. Yeah. There are all kinds of knitting wedding traditions, folklore, all of that stuff. But I am going to say that the nicest beads I think that you can use are either crystal or glass, and they are heavy. They are heavy, heavy, heavy. And so they will change the drape depending on how far apart they're dispersed in the shawl. Mm-hmm. But they're really the nicest ones you can use. And yes, you can use plastic ones and they're lightweight, but you don't want that in your wedding shawl. You want to use nice stuff. So I think really the only answer here is how far apart are you going to place them? Because actually a little bit of weight to something that's light, lightweight will, I think, cause a pretty drape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. I wonder if you could find out what the other knitters' beads were made out of, or maybe the beads were too big.
That's, if she was saying that it was bulky, I'll bet it was because the beads were big. Mm-hmm. And because, like, it wouldn't cause a bulky look if it was just a lot of beads.
Right.
It would, I mean, I can see, like, if you're adding big macrame beads to your lace shawl, that's not gonna look good. You want to use delicate, pretty beads that match everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what a nice project.
Yeah, that's neat.
But also, I should say that I have a YouTube friend, Jill Wiseman, and I bet there are people listening to this right now who follow her tutorials, because she is a bead lady and she does bead weaving, and she has tutorials out from the same studio that my tutorials are from. Mm-hmm. Well, pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Coming up again soon. But I'll bet that Jill can answer this question about beads, about if there's something that's lighter weight or a better choice for knitting, just because Jill sells beads and buys beads and she knows everything there is. So I'll present this question to her, and I can we can check back next week, or I can put it in the show notes. I'll find out a way to broadcast the answer and see what Jill says.
That's a good idea.
I think so. It's nice to know an expert, have an expert on hand.
Yeah. Are we done?
Yeah, Casey, I think that's it for this episode. If people want to find you online, Casey.
My website is kcknits.com. That's letter K, letter C. And my Instagram is kc.knits.
And on Peloton?
kcknits.
Okay. And I am... I'm Very Pink Knits on Instagram, and there's the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel, and verypink.com, and I'm Very Pink on Peloton. It's just pretty much Very Pink all across social media.
Yep.
That's all. I mean, it's easy to remember, except for it's Very Pink Knits on Instagram. Okay. Well, Casey, this is the end of episode 192, and so until next week, stay warm, my friends.